Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is supported in part by Australian Ethical.
Good evening, Lewis.
Hello, Daniel. How are you?
I'm good. And you sound good. You look good.
Thank you.
You look taller for some reason. I don't know why. Yeah, maybe it's my screen. Maybe my screen is higher than usual.
Yeah, I don't believe I've grown, but it would be thrilling if I had. It would kick me over from just like regular tall into weirdly tall.
Well, our Patreon subscribers are growing. This week, we grew by one. So big thank you to Sam Arnold, who joined up on Patreon. We've got a few of you now. Now, I'm Lewis, I don't know if this is rude of me to say this to our audience, but I want to get a few more because I want to hire an assistant.
Oh.
Because if you've ever thought about supporting the podcast, chip into the Patreon, it's, you know, the price of a cup of coffee these days, like even less. Like we've kept our prices the same and coffee has gone up sky high. Like,
yeah, it is easy to keep your price the same when it's zero.
Yeah, that's it. So if you've ever thought about chipping in, please head on over to Patreon and chip in. And that way we can employ someone younger, smarter, funnier to do most of the work that I don't have time to do.
Oh, well, now I feel threatened. What,
you feel threatened and you work at the Youth Broadcaster. You've got younger, smarter and funnier people around you all day long.
That's true. But what are you actually going to do with this assistant? Because I have to admit, if you're asking for money, you know, it's not exactly like you're curing cancer here, begging for an assistant. So I feel like you might need to give some more information.
They're going to be, you know, writing the podcast notes, publishing the podcast.
Uh-huh.
They're going to be organizing guests. Oh, there's a whole, I've got a list of things to do. It's very exhausting to make a whole podcast.
Oh, I mean, I can only assume. That's why I don't do anything.
Well, I don't know about you and your fancy producers at the Australian Broadcast Corporation.
Hey, that's singular. One single producer.
Okay, very good. And you panel yourself though, don't you?
Of course, yeah.
Oh, well, that's good. Anyway, have you met, do you know anyone?
Do I know anyone who's looking for an underpaid job? Yeah, dude, everyone at the ABC.
Yeah, well, great. Well, we pay more than the ABC, so it's fine. I'm recording my end of Irrational Fear on Gadigal land in the Eora Nation. Sovereignty was never ceded. We need a treaty. Let's start the show.
The following program contains medium coarse language and traces of nuts. Irrational Fear recommends listening by immature audiences. Comedians, experts, laughing at the world as it burns down around us. This is...
Are you ready?
A Rational Fear.
Tonight, an Australian Army helicopter has crashed into Jervis Bay. The Defence Minister said it's the closest thing we'll get to a new submarine until the 2040s. And with the New South Wales election just days away, Premier Dominic Perrottet regrets that he and his wife could have made a few more voters in time for Election Day. And after already using Code Red and Time Bomb in order to describe the IPCC report, the United Nations admits that analogies to climate change are an endangered species. It's the 24th of March, 2023, and this is Irrational Fear.
This is Irrational Fear.
Welcome to Rational Fear. I'm your host, former Labor Party bus driver Dan Lilich, and this is the podcast that makes Aaron Sorkin Newsroom look a bit like a documentary. Let's meet our fearmongers for tonight. Guest number one, they're one of Australia's best Laura Hughes's. They go by the name of Laura Hughes, and they'll be joined on stage at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival with several other Laura Hughes's. It's the one and only, well, actually turns out, one of many Laura Hughes's. Welcome to the podcast, Laura Hughes.
Yay. Thanks for having me.
Laura, just how many Laura Hughes's are going to be in your show in Melbourne?
There are going to be seven, including myself, but there are thousands.
I actually Googled you to find your bio today, and when I went to laurahughes.com.au, I found a Laura Hughes who's like a corporate coach who helps you think of mindset growth and all that stuff.
There's so many Laura Hughes's. They haunt me. There's one that's pedophile, and that's the worst one for me. Oh, I get a lot of emails from concerned parents. It's the worst.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Oh, dear. Oh, yep. Do you have your working with children check, Laura?
I have so many. I'm ready. I didn't even work with children, but I was like, I need it just for my life.
You have to go around and knock on everyone's door when you move into a neighbourhood and just go, I'm not that Laura Hughes.
Yeah, exactly.
And their Melbourne Comedy Festival show, Not Like Other Ghouls, refuses to have a pun in the title. It's the horrifically and musically gifted Alice Tovey.
Hello.
Alice, you are mixing horror and cabaret in your festival show. Are you worried it could be too spooky?
It's going to be a real fright fest, Dan. I hope that you love jaunty jingles, the scariest thing of all.
You know me, I love jaunty jingles. Lewis will tell you how much I love a jaunty jingle.
You're a jingle man?
He's a little jingle boy, and it's insufferable.
I love that. Also, Lewis, it's the first time we've been on the podcast together. Usually we can't be in the same room at the same time. This is so lovely.
It's really nice. I'm just waiting for one of our internets to fall apart. But for now, let's let it ride.
Yes.
And if you want to learn how to be rich, our next guest will tell you how to do that in his comedy special at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, Golden Hamshake. It's Lewis Hobber.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, okay. That's right. Exactly one day before Irrational Fear hits the stage at the Melbourne Comedy Festival, I'll be doing a live comedy show at the Melbourne Town Hall with my friend Michael Hing. It will be very silly, I assume.
Oh,
we
amazing.
Haven't written it.
I was just going from the copy off the website. I assumed you at least wrote what you were planning to do on the website.
You know how it is at the Comedy Festival show. You send in something and then you write to that.
So did you say handshake or hamshake?
Hamshake.
Hamshake.
Alice, honestly, the insane things you need to know to listen to our radio show. If you haven't listened to it before, don't bother starting now, I would say. It's just we're so deep into a bunch of insane storylines that it would take too long to unpick. We're the lost of daytime radio.
There is a lot of in-jokes. You can kind of catch up at any point, though, Lewis. Like, I dip in and out when I'm driving around town, and I'm like, oh, yeah, back on the ham stuff. That's good.
Yeah. Well, at one point, Hing just decided that it would be funny to say, congratulations, you've won yourself a ham. But he's a vegetarian. He doesn't know how much ham costs.
So much.
He's like, so let's just give away a ham every week. And I was like, that's going to bankrupt the ABC. So we gave away one ham to one person. The ABC legal thing was so insane. They were like, what if someone wins it who's like Jewish or Muslim who doesn't eat ham? It's like, well, then we won't send them the ham.
Plus, you got to be in the pockets of Big Bataki. You can't have that.
And now we just made like thousands of golden ham chain key rings that we give away. Anyway, it's a nightmare. No one on this podcast cares.
It's a whole thing. Coming up later, after inviting both Chris Minns and Dominic Perrottet on the podcast and receiving very polite no's, we are joined instead by independent candidate for the Northern Beaches, Jackie Scrooby. We'll ask her, how insular is her peninsula? But first, a message from this week's sponsor.
Irrational Fear and Audible presents David Attenborough reading the AR6 report from the IPCC, uncensored, unplugged and unhinged.
Human activities, principally through emissions of greenhouse gases, have unequivocally caused global warming. You see, I fucking told you all, didn't I?
Hear the moment the BAFTA award-winning naturalist's brain explodes.
With global surface temperatures reaching 1.1 degrees centigrade.
How many fucking documentaries do I need to fucking make?
Experience the frustration of someone who's given their life to the pursuit of truth in the face of unbridled capitalism.
Deep, rapid and sustained reductions in greenhouse gas emissions would lead to a discernible slowdown in global warming within around 2 decades. Discernible? I'll be dead in 2 fucking decades. How about I give you all a discernible reduction in me?
It's what could be David Attenborough's last great audiobook.
Oh, fuck it, that's it. I'm getting into crypto. Fuck all of you bitches.
Now available on Audible. Download the app and start listening today.
Big thank you to David Attenborough. for that one. Excellent. This week's first fear, Nazis, TERFs and the Liberal Party expulsions. Oh my, what is it with Melbourne and Nazis? Is it the weather? Maybe the Yarra reminds them of the Rhine? Or maybe it's the unbearable levels of racial tolerance. But in a very confused scene on the weekend, Nazis joined anti-trans protesters who were joined by trans rights protesters who were not joined by anyone trying to catch the 86 tram anywhere because there's no way they could. And on top of it, the baddies, in this case the anti-trans protesters, were upset that the police let even worse baddies, Nazis, into their protest. Alice, what the hell is happening in Melbourne?
Oh my goodness, it's such an upsetting and hateful story. This person, Posey Parker, Parker Posey, already appropriating the name of a queer icon is a hate crime. But a bunch of TERFs turned up to Parliament and they've kind of created this thing where they say trans people, they're so dangerous, they should be all just eradicated. They also say that trans people don't exist. So they've created Schrodinger's Queer and they've gone and protested that. It's just, it's super frustrating, especially the cops that turned up as well who allowed the Nazis to march through the streets. If you've not seen the footage, it's horrific. The excuse that they gave to the protesters was, oh, I'm just doing my job, which is like a fine excuse if you're a Subway sandwich artist who's been told to just use schnitzel instead of bread because they slipped to an extra fiver, but not if you're defending Nazis. That's not all right.
It's also just like such a hair's breadth from I was just following orders, which of course, famously from the Nazis.
Absolutely it was.
It's weird that the police just thought it was part of the anti-trans protesters.
Dan, is it weird that the cops let the Nazis in, aka a lot of them friends?
But it is weird because, you know, they're not dressed like anti-trans protesters. They're dressed like they've come from they got out of bed from their pajamas. They're like all in black.
Yeah, they're in black short shorts, which is, yeah, I didn't think that hot pants were the Nazi uniform, which like credit where credit's due. I love a good hot pan, but not on a Nazi.
It was almost indistinguishable from a Lady Gaga backup dancer. It's terrifying, genuinely. Like, you kind of like, it's always crazy when you're like, the Nazis are back. What are we doing? The Nazis. Yeah.
It's interesting in that Victoria seems to be like the home of Nazism in Australia for some reason. There's been long reporting about right-wing radicals hanging out in the Grampians, chanting anti-Jewish sentiment. And there seems to be a huge rise, like over the last 10 years, like a 320% rise in right-wing plot attacks and violence, like direct like threats to the Australian people. Like the Nazis are for all intents and purposes, you know, the new Al-Qaeda in Australia. The AFP are really deeply concerned about this rise.
Do you think it's the weather? It's just the most similar to Germany.
It could be. It could be, yeah.
Like you just
we
can't
love a
wear,
turtleneck.
You can't wear those uniforms in Queensland. Like if the further you get to, the closer you get to the equator, you can't wear an overcoat. It doesn't work. I mean, even as you're saying, Alice, there were Nazis in shorts. He was the only one who you weren't scared of. Like all the other Nazis, you're like, these guys are fucking Nazis. You're like, well, that guy's Nazis in shorts. We can hit his knees. Fuck that guy. He's easy.
Oh, yeah, I'm not scared of men as long as I can see their calves. Then I'm like, I could take him. I'm just hoping that what these protests highlight is the absurdity of transphobia, because when you have literal Nazis on your side, like Sieg Heiling and stuff, you're on the wrong side, team. Like, you can't dress it up in whatever faux feminism you want. This is bad stuff.
The TERFs were there going, oh, no, we weren't with the Nazis. I mean, like, just visually, clearly they were with the Nazis. But in a world where the Nazis were getting attacked by the anti-TERF protesters and the TERFs themselves, then the Nazis would have been fighting a war on two fronts. And at that point, historically, we might have had them.
It's a bit like Q&A on crack.
This is a rational fear.
This week's second fear, any moment a former president could be arrested for using campaign funds to buy the silence of a porn star he had sex with once. Yes, Donald Trump could be arrested at some point this week. We don't know when. We don't know when. He tweeted on Tuesday that it could happen any moment now. So the whole world has been on tenterhooks. This all goes back to when Donald Trump used $130,000 of campaign finance funneled through his lawyer, Michael Cohen, to pay the silence of Stormy Daniels. And it all kind of comes down to a bit of paperwork. it could be along the lines that, you know, kind of paying off, reimbursing Michael Cohen through like a dodgy invoice or something like this. What is going on here with Donald Trump?
It's very exciting. I feel like they've almost been arresting him for years now, but it feels like it's getting closer, maybe, fingers crossed for everyone. But my favourite part is the unhinged part about him, like, truthing about it on his stupid little website. And the fact that there's been all these like deep fake videos about it, of people already putting out deep fake videos of him on the way to jail. And I feel like that's how he found out, like he saw a video, thought he saw a glimpse into the future, and that's why he truthed about it. Like that's why he tweeted about it.
But Laura, may I ask, like, this whole arrest over appropriating campaign funds, doesn't it just seem a little bit quaint with everything else he's done?
It does. I mean, I feel like this is going to be the first. They're trying to get him on anything. They're desperate. But the stressful thing is that even if he gets arrested, he can still become president because the laws are different over there.
Like, so he can. John Exotic's running for president now, so anyone can do it.
In Australia, you can't run for parliament if you've been convicted of a crime, but in America, you can. You know, apparently he could do it from jail. Like, he can actually run as president and become president from jail if he wants to.
If he does go to prison, in the sort of Al Capone sense, you know, if they just get him on campaign finance fraud. But if he's there, I hope he doesn't run for president. I hope he shoots another season of The Apprentice. Can you imagine Donald Trump in D block going, I'm here with Cyrus the Virus, Snake Eyes, and I don't know, Pete. And the challenge this week, see how many mobile phones you can sneak through.
Oh, but Lewis, how are they going to send him to prison? They can't cuff him. His hands are so tiny.
He'll slip right out.
I just thought it was funny, the footage in New York this week at the front of Trump Tower, that there were just like five people with bull horns, which means they're one shy away from a netball team if they exclude the wing attack.
Yeah, that was after he called for the protest and five people showed up. So I don't know if it's that much of a threat.
Just Rudy Giuliani out there with a bunch of oranges going, here if you need, Donald, here if you need.
Irrational fear. It is the end of the world. You may as well laugh about it.
This week's third fear, unless it's going to destroy the world. We don't often talk about technology on this podcast, but, you know, ChatGPT we've spoken a little bit about. This week, Samsung has revealed that it has been replacing things in people's photos, namely the moon. A Reddit user did an experiment where he printed off the moon. He made it really blurry in Photoshop, printed it out, stuck it on the wall, and took a photo of it with his camera. So it looked nothing like the moon. But the AI inside the Samsung camera automatically replaced that picture with a picture of the moon. Samsung is just going around replacing the moon in everyone's pictures.
So what you're saying, Dan, is that they yassified the moon.
What else should Samsung replace? If they're replacing the moon, you know, does this give them license and other tech companies license to just replace other things in your pictures? What if you wanted a picture of a really blurry moon, but you couldn't get it?
Wow, I didn't know. Why? And why are they doing that? Because they just think that moons look a bit shit.
But no, because they can. So, and the amazing thing is that the one side of the moon faces the Earth at all times. So no matter where you are on the planet, whenever you look up at the moon, it's going to be the same image of the moon. So if you're trying to take a photo of the moon, if you're the kind of person that sees the moon and wants to zoom in and get a shot of the moon, Samsung will just replace the moon with a really crispy picture of the moon.
What about with the blood moons? Do they have those on file?
I don't know. That's my question.
What about if I pull my pants down in front of the camera? Will they replace me with a stunt butt?
I don't think they've got enough craters for your butt.
I'm happy for them to replace pictures of me. I take the worst photos, so I'm like, give me a glow up, Samsung.
And there's so many of you. They just put another Laura Hughes in there. It'll be
yes.
I regret the name of my show.
It'd just be nice if they could replace photos of my parents with one of them looking proud of my career choice. It's a joke. I love you, Mum and Dad. You're great.
And it is a joke. Alice Tovey's career is going really well. She's, you know, she works on everyone's TV shows. We're very proud of her here at Rational Fear.
Oh, Dad.
Do we know what year Samsung was founded? Was it in 1969? Because it is possible that they were complicit in the faking of the moon landing.
Thank you, Lewis, for being brave enough to say it.
We're all thinking it.
What kind of podcast would we be if we didn't have at least one conspiracy theory?
We'd have more listeners if we had more conspiracy
theories.
Of course. That's for sure.
Yeah. If you would just eat some of the elk meat that I send you, this podcast would be one of the biggest in Australia.
Samsung, unfortunately, was founded 85 years ago, 1938.
That proves my theory. It's entirely possible that they were there for 1969.
Also, think about how long it took James Cameron to develop the technology for Avatar 2. Mm. It is totally reasonable that it took till the 30s, till the 60s to fake a moon landing.
But why did the footage look so shit in the 60s?
Mm. Yeah, well, yeah. How come Samsung didn't replace it with better footage?
Yeah, where were the Na'vi on the moon?
Theory debunked.
I'll be back with a new one next week.
Oh, we need it. It kind of begs the question, like, what is a picture?
When the AI photos came out, when that Lenser AI thing came out, did you guys give it a go? Did you give yourself a little glow up in the AI?
No, mate, I'm beautiful.
Too beautiful. It broke the AI. They were like, well, we have to make her less beautiful.
Yeah. Do you remember the day that Samsung was down? That was my face. Sorry, everyone.
I did it because it cost money. So I was oh, no thanks.
Smart.
I'm poor.
You shouldn't have to pay for a face. Like, you've got a face.
Exactly. Do it for free. It's a robot. Why am I paying a robot?
That's a good point. I mean, I would buy a Roomba, but that's different, I guess.
Did you guys do it? Did you?
Yeah, absolutely. Are you kidding me? I'm so vain. I woke up in the morning and was like, why does everyone look hot? And why haven't I done it yet? And then I did it all day.
Were you like astronauts? Astronaut. A lot of astronauts, yeah.
Like mythical figure. There was, I would say it felt a bit like they had just Googled like white guy, brown hair, glasses, and then they just fused me with a bunch of other. Like there was a few where I looked a bit like Adam Scott, the actor, which was quite nice.
Oh.
Mm. But then there was some where I looked like, I would say, someone who founded a yoga studio in 1978 and had since been in prison for 40 years for the things I did to the people in my yoga studio in the 70s. Like really just like skinny and like really long arms, but kind of like piercing eyes. I was a sex pest. It made me look like an AI sex pest. And it made me question myself because on that, once you see the scales of what you can be, like on one hand, I could be beloved actor Adam Scott, who I think is wonderful. On the other hand, I could be a sex pest. And then you can kind of see both of those versions of yourself going forward in every day. And it, I guess it gave me the sort of Laura Hughes paradox. Like I didn't really know who I was. So I decided not to ever do it again.
I think you'd make a beautiful cult leader, Lewis. You have cult leader potential.
Do you know when I was a kid, when people would ask me what I wanted, that's what I told them. That's not even a joke.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have like some kind of merchandise or do you do like a Eucharist? What would you do? Like,
what's a Eucharist?
Oh, like it's a Catholic process of you know sharing your body as a bread. It's a very traditional thing.
Slut.
Would I be a big slut? Yes.
That's it.
I don't know.
Would you have a harem?
Why didn't you get into the cult game if it's not to be a slut? I don't understand. Anyone who's like a good cult leader, I'm like, why did you bother? Just go to work.
Oh, it's the same thing as like a social football team. It's just nice to hang out with people with similar interests.
And have them do your bidding.
I had some friends who made a documentary about cults in Australia once and we were having a beer. I was like, what was like the funniest story about the cults? And they were like, oh, it was pretty funny. There was this woman who went to like a health thing, like a health fair in Byron Bay. And she met this person who ended up getting them into a cult and this woman was like, I'm the second coming of Jesus and she ended up getting involved in this cult. But there were only three people in the cult. It was her, the cult leader, and one other follower. And eventually the other follower left. So it was just her and the second coming of Jesus. And then eventually after like 2 or 3 years, the woman was like, what are you still doing here? I'm clearly not the second coming of Jesus. And then the leader left the cult. So the only person left in the cult was just this one follower. And then she was like, oh, I've been in a cult. I've been in a fucking cult.
Yeah, that would be me. I would be the second coming of Jesus and I would get frustrated with my own shitty cult and want to leave it.
Like, you dead shits, what are you doing here?
You're all idiots.
Your fear is rational.
Just pausing the podcast here. Lewis, do you think Samsung's efforts to replace people's real moons with a fake moon is pretty ethical?
I don't really know if it matters enough to be ethical or unethical. It's just a weird thing.
Well, I just want to pause the podcast here just to talk a little bit about Australian Ethical. They are a big financial firm. They've been going since 1986 and they've been looking after people's money in really ethical ways. So they haven't been replacing it with pictures of fake money like Samsung would do. They've been, you know, putting it in stuff like low carbon businesses, renewable energy. They definitely don't invest in things like fossil fuels. They look after companies that are part of the solution, not part of the problem, Lewis.
I'm thrilled, Dan. I'm very excited to be partnering with Australian Ethical. Well, I think last week we mentioned, I saw them in the news. I saw them in a Guardian headline. I was like, oh no. Who have we saddled ourselves with? And then it was like, oh, no, they're divesting from a bad company who was going to kill a bunch of koalas. And I'm like, oh, a superannuation company in the news for the right reasons? What year is this?
That company is Lendlease, a company we've spoken a bit about on this podcast. So, yeah, well done, Australian Ethical. Keep it up. And thank you for sponsoring Irrational Fear.
This is Irrational Fear.
Hey, it looks like Jackie Scrooby's got better things to do before 3 days before the election. So good on her. She's not coming on Irrational Fear tonight. Let's wrap it up. So big thanks to everyone who joined us on Irrational Fear. Lewis Hobart, Alice Tovey, Laura Hughes. Alice, what would you like to plug?
Yes, I'm doing a show called Not Like the Other Ghouls at the Melbourne Comedy Festival and the Sydney Comedy Festival. So if you head to alicetovey.com, you can book some tickets. It opens next Thursday. It's going to be very silly.
Looking forward to it. Laura Hughes.
I'm doing a show with the worst title in the world, and I regret it every day. Laura Hughes Presents, and it's from the 10th of April to the 16th at the Butterfly Club.
Clever. Only doing 1 week at the festival. Smart. That is the sign. That is a veteran. That is a veteran who has seen some shit.
That's someone who's done it before and was like, a month? Get fucked. That is too much. I play a lot of characters, so I think I would be dead if I did the whole month.
I've seen the show and it's very, very, very funny. Lewis, what would you like to plug?
Well, obviously, there's Irrational Fear, 2nd of April. Huge lineup. Still tickets available. The Capitol Theatre. I mean, it's beautiful. Wear a suit. Dress up. What a lineup.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, please wear a suit. Will you wear a suit? If you wear a suit, I'll wear a suit.
Fuck it. Yeah, I'll wear a suit.
Okay, I'll wear a suit.
Yeah, all right.
Suit,
I'll wear a suit.
Suits.
Yeah, suit. Isn't that funny when you, like, work such joke jobs that putting on a suit is, like, a moment.
It's comedy.
I've only got one.
Can you dress up as one of your AI characters?
Oh, fuck. I know we're still recording, but afterwards I'll send you the sex pest one. It's so funny. It's so funny.
Lewis, try not to send it over a carriage service.
I can't believe what they did to me. They did me so dirty. So, yes, come to Irrational Fear. Also, if you're just in Melbourne the weekend and you're like, oh, God, not enough Lewis. I am doing a show at the Town Hall the night before with my friend Michael Hing. It's called Golden Handshake. And then the week after that, if you're like, God, I've seen Lewis twice, love to do it a third time, be doing The Great Debate, which is really exciting, on Easter Sunday.
That's really exciting, Lewis. Do you know who you're doing it with?
I don't. I find out tomorrow. Well, today, by the time this podcast goes out. So I'm really excited. It's really fun. I've loved watching them since I was a kid. And, like, I think debating was, like, the first time I ever wrote a joke. So I'm really excited to
Lewis,
to do it.
You are built for that. That's going to be great. I'm looking
if only being built for that was profitable.
I look forward to you putting in a sterling effort to Irrational Fear.
You know I will. That's the first thing. Yeah.
Good.
It's the first thing.
Have you written your piece yet?
Dan, we've got another Irrational Fear before then to do. No, I haven't fucking written. I haven't written the second one. Jesus.
Yes, if you're listening to this right now, you're probably listening around the time we were performing on stage at the QPAC, at the World Science Festival in Brisbane this Sunday. You can still get tickets to that, so please buy tickets to that. And also the following week in Melbourne International Comedy Festival. That is it for Irrational Fear. Big thank you to Road Mics, Australian Ethical, our Patreon supporters, Jacob Brown of the Teppanyaki Timeline, Rupert Dagas, who did that extraordinary David Attenborough. And until next week, there's always something to be scared of. Good night.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.